Hadith number 16. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, reading of the Quran in Salah is more rewarding than reading outside Salah. Reading outside Salah is better than tasbih and takbir, dhikr. Tasbih is better than sadaqah, charity. Sadaqah is better than nafal fasting, and fasting protects you from the fire of Jahannam. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, reading the Quran is in Salah is more rewarding than reading outside Salah. Reading outside Salah is better than tasbih and takbir, dhikr. Tasbih is better than sadaqah, charity. Sadaqah is better than nafal fasting, and fasting protects you from the fire of Jahannam. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu says that for every letter read, there are 100 blessings for one who reads the Quran while standing in Salah. 50 blessings for one who reads while sitting in Salah, 25 blessings for one who reads with wudu outside Salah, 10 blessings for one who reads without wudu, and 1 blessing for him who does not read himself but listens to the reader. Hadith number 17. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked us, does any of you like that when he returns home, he should find 3 she camels pregnant and fat? We replied, we would love to do so. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, 3 ayat which one of you will read in Salah are better than 3 big pregnant and fat she camels. Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked us, does any one of you like that when he returns home, he should find 3 she camels pregnant and fat? We replied, we would love to do so. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, 3 ayat which one of you will read in Salah are better than 3 big pregnant fat she camels. From this hadith we understand that reading Quran in Salah is better than reading it outside Salah. Remember again, these examples are only given for our understanding. Otherwise, the everlasting reward of 1 ayat of the Quran is more valuable than thousands of she camels. Reading from the book of Mu'asharat, Islamic Social Etiquettes. Etiquettes of the employer. Number 1. An employee should recognize the value of work and be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has to discharge his obligation with commitment, punctuality and proficiency. The Holy Quran refers to these qualities in the following words. One of the 2 daughters of Shu'ib alayhi salatu wasalam said, O my father, employ him, referring to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Surely the best of men for you to employ are those who are strong and trustworthy. Number 2. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is reported to have said, when a man does any work, Allah wishes him to give it perfection and grace. That is, the person is expected to do his or her work with commitment and dedication. Number 3. Work is an act of worship, which requires sincerity of purpose and loyalty. The employee must be able to win confidence of the employer by displaying competence and proficiency. Cleanliness and hygiene constitutes half of faith in Islam. Domestic workers have to be particularly trained to ensure the laws of tahara, purity, are not compromised. Number 4. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is reported to have said, fulfill the trust of one who has entrusted you and do not be treacherous to one who deceives you. Time and punctuality are a trust. The employer's time is sacred. Absconding from work, killing time, neglecting your duties and poor performance tantamount to treachery and of this trust. Another tradition categorically states, there is no iman in one who is not trustworthy, nor is there religion in him who does not keep his promise. Number 5. The employer is therefore entitled to A. Sincerity, B. Responsibility, C. Honesty, D. Proficiency. One should never mention the secrets of the company to others. Number 6. Do not spend time on your phone or chat lines during hours of employment. Number 7. The employee should always arrive on time, be kind, polite, and work to the best of his ability. Number 8. Any facilities provided by the employer should be used for the intended purpose and should not be abused. by using it for one's personal needs, for example. Number 9, if the employer intends replacing a certain employee, then an advance notice should be given so that he is able to find an alternative occupation. The same ruling applies to the employee that intends leaving work. Jazakallah.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. We were discussing, just for our new brothers also who are here, the great value of the Quran Sharif and what a great and honorable kitab it is, and various aspects with regard to that. And the example we gave, that was one side of the coin or a note, a bank note. Then every coin and bank note has got the other side also. And it has to be printed on the other side, then only it's a valid code, a valid note or a valid coin. So that is from our side. Allah has given us this kitab, this great valuable kitab that will take us to Allah, We will reach Allah, tabaruk wa ta'ala. Allah has given us this kitab. But now, from our side, what our duties are. We have to fulfill our duties, then we will get the great benefit which the Quran Sharif has in it. So the one point that we tried to explain, was Iman bil Quran. That our unflinching, uncompromising Iman on the Quran Sharif. And the teachings of the Quran Sharif, completely, whatever the Quran teaches us, that we take it 100%, this is the command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If a person finds weakness in his understanding, he must admit that. If he finds weakness in his practicing, he must admit that. But we have to try to find the accept it. Our Iman must be that we accept wholeheartedly whatever the Quran Sharif has said. A few examples we gave with regard to that. Capital punishment for those sins for which there is capital punishment. We don't have a inferiority complex about that. We don't try and compare. We can't. It's not practiced today, perhaps anywhere in the world. We don't know in Saudi if they still practice it. But generally, it is not being practiced. But that is the law of Allah Ta'ala. And we have to accept that. And for example, also, with regard to interest, Allah has made it haram. So it is haram. Then all the different aspects of interest, the different names that are given to it, etc. But we must understand. And any person who perhaps gets involved in interest, he must not try and justify it. He accept that I'm doing wrong. And there is great hope that he will get tawbah and Allah will forgive him. But if he tries and justify it, that no, it is right. The circumstances are such, then that is the day then we are changing the law. So everything, whatever Allah Ta'ala, with regard to the matter of inheritance also, we find this commonly, that when we see our benefit, that inheritance is according to Islamic law, then we become very good Muslims and we must apply Islamic law. But when we see our benefit is according to the law of the country, law of the land, then we opt for that. So those things shouldn't happen. So our total Iman on the Quran Sharif. The second point and the third point that we tried and discussed was the love of the Quran Sharif and respect of the Quran Sharif. May Allah Ta'ala bless us with that also. The greatest love for any kitab that we should have is for the Quran Sharif. The example we gave that today, commonly, how much we have regard for our cell phone, our mobile. We just can't do without it. We feel we are paralyzed without our mobile, our cell phone. But if we could have that attitude with the Quran Sharif, how many of us, as soon as namaz is finished, we take out the phone and we are checking any messages or whatever else it might be. Like this should be our attitude with the Quran Sharif. If on the phone we are checking Quran Sharif, right? Many mashallah huffaz who read a lot of Quran in their namazes, now they made a mistake or they doubting something and they checking out on the phone, that is a separate subject, whether it is permissible or whether it's advisable on the phone. Many ulama don't approve of it, but there are some ulama approve of it also. So anyway, the best is to have the Quran Sharif itself. But on the phone, if we are looking, so if we see somebody else, and this is also very important, anyone we see, like for example, a person in a masjid is with his cell phone, we should take it, he's looking at Quran Sharif. Our mind shouldn't go that he's looking at something else, at messages, at something. We ourselves must try and avoid it. Don't give a person the opportunity to have any suspicion, any doubts. We should avoid it. But if we see somebody, then we should try our best that our minds don't become negative. That he's looking at other things, etc. That he's looking at Quran Sharif or whatever else, something deeny things he's looking at. And that is what we expect of a Muslim, especially in a masjid, that he won't be looking at any other things. He will be looking at Quran Sharif. And how many times it happens also. We doubted somebody when we found out. We saw, no, actually it was not there. It was the Quran Sharif that he was looking at or some other deeny matters, whatever it was. So anyway, but how today we have, whatever we do, we going out of the house, anything, phone must be there. Like that should be our attitude with the Quran Sharif. This is how Muslims were, and we should be like that. That the Quran Sharif must be always there. In fact, it was known in the past that after Fajr, after Maghrib, from every Muslim's house, the sound of Quran Sharif should come. Children are reading, elderly people are reading, and that was the time. And Quran Sharif, as we heard in the Kitab previously, wherever Quran Sharif is read, Allah's Rahmat comes down, Barakat comes down. And this is a great Kitab which upholds our deen. And when we and also a system by Allah Ta'ala is that there is nowhere a vacuum. When we left the Quran Sharif, then there can't be a vacuum. So immediately then, in most cases, the TV took its place. And now we find that the TV is on all the time. It was also a time when at least on Jummah's night, Thursday night, then also there was an Islamic environment in the house, deen, etc. But now that also is not there. So we should build this love of the Quran Sharif. And by reading, listening to, and understanding the first part, if we understood the value of the Quran Sharif, automatically love of the Quran Sharif. And then this love is not like the love between a husband and his wife that we did not mention yesterday. That is important, very important. But usually, when you become very, you know, informal with one another, you know one another, then you start speaking also, perhaps any way to one another, which also we must keep within our limits. The first time you meet, then you have a lot of respect, etc. But as the days go and you become used to one another, then it becomes a little bit different. But the love that you have for your father, that is different. Or the love you have for your mother, that is also. With the mother also, you perhaps will take some advantage of her. She's usually soft and kind. But the father usually, not in every case, the father is quite hard and strong. So you are careful with your. So the love of Allah Ta'ala must be with this great respect and honor of Allah Ta'ala. Not like two friends, how we just speak to one another. Or for example, a person is reading a novel which he shouldn't be reading, but whenever there is something, he'll push it under the bed or something. Quran Sharif we can't, that we were reading, and now we just put it under the pillow, or we just drop it on the side, na'uzubillah, that's out of the question. At one time, this was quite common in the Haramain Sharifain, where people should put Quran Sharif on the floor. But today, alhamdulillah, we have seen what great changes. The last time we were at the Haram of Makkah Sharif, I think it was Makkah or Medina Sharif, and one person had put the Quran Sharif down. One army soldier, I think they were doing their duty, and who had boots on, and he was there, he picked it up and he told him, this is the Kalam of Allah. How can you put it on the floor? It's impossible you put it. And one time it was such that it was neglected like that. But today, alhamdulillah, the great respect that is shown. Perhaps many of us have seen, some of us have seen, or not. But in the 70s, in the Haramain Sharifain also, many of the Quran Sharifs you would find they are not nice, torn, etc. But today it's a complete different thing. How beautifully they are packed and how regularly. And perhaps there is no dust on them, but they are dusting it regularly. There are those times they take out the whole Quran Sharif from the Quran Sharif from the rack. They clean it. and the cleanliness of the house of the Haramain now, those places where we'll never expect a person to go and clean, they got for that also cleanliness. So the Quran Sharif especially, Allah, it has been honored, and who honors the Quran Sharif? Allah honors those people. Whoever honors the person, individual, a nation, a nation or anyone, whoever honors the Quran, Allah honors that person. So Allah give us more and more respect of the Quran Sharif and the love of the Quran Sharif. Another point that we would like to talk about, the rights of the Quran Sharif are innumerable also. Jinn also. Just little bit comes to our mind, what do we know, what minds have we got also. Otherwise, the Kitab of Allah, which is such a great Kitab, how many rights it has got. One very important right of the Quran Sharif also, Allah give me tawfiq first, give all of us tawfiq to learn the Quran Sharif, the ta'allum of the Quran Sharif. And this should be also right from the beginning to the end, right to a person's death. He should have, Allah grant me first, the jazba that I have to learn Quran Sharif. And continuously we have to carry on learning the Quran Sharif. Later inshallah we will discuss about teaching the Quran. But this is first learning the Quran Sharif. And no matter how long a person is teaching the Quran Sharif, but you must still have the jazba that I want to learn the Quran Sharif. And all other kutub, ilm of deen, or everything, but especially the Quran Sharif, which is the original foundation and source of the ulum of the world. And our deeni ulum is 100%. The basic source is the Quran Sharif. And to have this ilmi mizaj, to always try and increase our knowledge of all our deen, but of Quran Sharif particularly. So the first part is, there are many people who accept Islam, Allah give us all tawfiq to remain, but then they have to learn at least something that our namaz, that must be the first priority. That's so much by which our namaz can be correct. Surah Fatiha, we learn it in the Arabic, and just off by heart. And this is also another very important thing. We have many students here. And when one of our questions are on the application form, can you read Quran Sharif? And they write yes. When they come here, we find they can't read. What they understand, can you read? Can you read Quran Sharif? What we mean by reading, you look inside the Quran Sharif and read. So there are many people, even amongst the Arab students that we have, who know Surah Am, for example, Para Am, Juz Am, they know it off by heart. But looking inside, they can't read. They don't know. And when they come here, we said you know, then they read. But looking inside, they can't. And we mean that you must be able to look inside and be able to read. So that we have to learn the alphabet, the huruf. And then again, before it was also a different thing, how people should pronounce the huruf. Today, alhamdulillah, worldwide, the standard has gone to such a level that our makharij, we have to be very, very careful. In fact, how many people who are like proficient with Quran Sharif, other people find mistakes in their pronunciation of the letters, etc. And they are much more, of course, the tajweed, and there is no end to that also. And perfection in that, there is no end to that also. And a person has to carry on all the time. Right through his life he has to carry on. Then that will, inshallah, not only reach greater levels, but it will, perfection will also come. And he will remember also. Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrar al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, one student who was studying there in India, he went to Hazrat. Hazrat heard his Quran. He was very impressed with his Quran, reading very well. After many years, Hazrat came, met him again. He said, read again. He read. So he said, I can see some rust has come. It's not that level which it was at that time. So this is what all types of knowledge, and the Quran Sharif, which is the basic, so we have to keep on learning. So right from the start we have to learn, and we have to carry on learning all the time. And that jazwa must be in us to learn more and more of the Quran Sharif. For example, the ordinary layman, that we don't know meanings of so many surahs also. Our namaz, we don't know the meanings. We should be learning that. Those who are ulama, who did tafsir, tarjumah, tafsir, etc. And Hazrat Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned that if, for example, in a madrasa, they were teaching Jalalain Sharif, this is the example Hazrat gave, and for some reason, they only did 25 paras. We have to do 30. The ustad fell ill, or whatever reason. Then the student's duty that he must complete the other 5. The exams will be conducted perhaps only on the 25. And he will be passed to the next year that this kitab is complete now. But that 5, it is his duty that he must go to some ustad and learn it. But we don't have that within us. If it's left out, we got the other class. We are happy with that. I got my class which I wanted and I'm gone to that class. But no, we must learn it, inshallah. So Allah give us tawfiq. Inshallah, if Allah wishes, we'll speak a little bit more on this. But the learning of the Quran in the jazba, for all, for me first, that no matter what happens, to be able to learn more and more of Quran Sharif, right to the end, inshallah. Allah give us tawfiq.